conversation, impressive insight, not always the best company. Bob McCowan, Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
All right, pay attention. It's Wednesday, October the 19th, 2011. The radio program is on the air on The Fan, not on Sportsnet, because they're carrying some stupid game of some sort. Is it? Well, I don't even know what they're... Tennis today or soccer today? That's what it takes me, soccer. Unwatchable crap. Later, Michael Hiestand of USA Today. Greg's on. Jamie Campbell will join us in studio. Also in studio, Ian Troop, the CEO of the 2015 Pan Am Games. Also in studio, Hall of Fame quarterback Warren Moon, Rob Becker, our legal analyst from New York, and Emmy Award winner Kiefer Sutherland, all are coming up on the program. But none of those people is nearly as important or significant as our first guest. If you have lived anywhere in southern Ontario for the last 25, 30 years, 40, 30, 35, sometime.
Yeah, you're some getting number there. Of you're years. Getting there.
Yeah, you will have heard these two clowns, these two ne'er-do-wells. One of which I played golf with, the other of which I sort of helped get into this business. Not really. I mean, you got into it, but we worked together in the early stages.
We worked together. You know, I still have the letter of recommendation you wrote for me.
I didn't write it. Somebody else wrote it.
No, you wrote it. Bob, it was 1978. You wrote it.
I know. Humble and Fred are here.
And thrilled to be here. We're thrilled. This is actually the only company that hasn't fired us.
That's true.
There's still plenty of time.
Oh, no, I know.
It's okay. They fired me twice.
We just saw a Nelson there. He says, well, you know, listen, we could fire you just to make you feel at home.
That's right. And then we'd just cover the gamut there.
Yeah.
But we're thrilled to be here, Bob, because when we get up this morning, the last thing that we thought we'd be doing today would be guesting on Primetime Sports with Bob McCown.
But wait a second. So here's what happens. So the star comes to my door, as it does every morning, and my wife picks it up. And I wander downstairs like half awake, about a quarter to nine. She says, here, check out the entertainment section of the Star. And there's your fat faces.
Mm-hmm.
Big ass picture.
Huge cover.
Big story. Front page. And I said, oh, what are they doing? What are they doing? And we'll tell them what you're doing. What are you idiots doing?
We have been fired to the point now where we're apparently unhirable by radio. So after wrecking radio stations in this city for over 20 years, Fred and I decided it was time to wreck the internet. And we started something called humbleandfredradio.com. And believe me, we knew that radio people would see that in the Star on the weekend and go, let me get this straight. They have no jobs. They've done one podcast. Where does the juice come? Where do you get the juice to be on the cover of the Toronto Star? And you know what? It's led to this unbelievable occasion for us.
No, people have just been great with being here today, and the Star reaching out and taking this the story seriously. Like, it actually was a real project, which it is. But again, when you're talking about podcasting and you haven't done anything yet, it was quite the compliment to get that that coverage.
So I misread the article because I thought it said that. No, it's not going to be that funny.
It's already funny to me.
It is. No.
The fact that you misread the article.
Well, I mean, I'm looking at it, I'm going, oh, wow, look at this. The guys, this is good, but I thought it said you're going to do one, like, sample show and put it on, and then you're going to start doing regular shows. I thought that's what it said.
No, we had a preview show.
But you actually did one already.
We've been on. We did a little preview show on the weekend. That's what the Star linked to. And then we started, basically, we're going to put up one every day of the week that we can. I mean, the model is pretty simple. It's Adam Carolla. It's Steve Dahl, the morning guy in Chicago. And we're going to kind of bring a bit of a radio sensibility to podcasting, meaning that we're going to try and, you know, do some, you know, a little more discipline. It's not just a nonstop free-for-all. And obviously the big issue for anybody in this business is how do you monetize what little brand equity that we have built up in the market?
Yeah. Well, no, but I mean, you have equity.
Yeah, we do.
So how do you?
Well, I mean, that's a very good question. Fred's sort of handling, in our business, Fred's handling a lot of the programming, and I'm handling a bit of the sales. And you know what? It's reaching out to people. Like, we have actually got a few sponsors on our site. You know, some people have taken a chance. A guy named Mike Muzzin at iTex gave us some money to start up, and we've got other people that are involved. The problem with podcasting is that people, it's, you know, it's pretty familiar to a lot of the younger people, maybe the guys in your booth there. But a lot of people, it's like, well, how do I get that? Is it on my computer? Is it portable? And the answer is yes to all. It's just a very simple step. And the next step, of course, is to have it streaming through your car radio somehow.
Well, this is it.
Did that make sense?
Yes. Okay. You know, it's the new frontier, Bob, and a lot of cars will be streaming the internet pretty soon. So, I mean, the accessibility is there. You can get it on your... Do you have an iPhone? iPhone, BlackBerry, Android, it's all available there. Again, you're not going to have... Listen.
Are you stumped by any of this?
Never,
all of this. I have no idea.
Isn't that interesting?
You see how smoothly, yeah, though, I threw the sponsor mention in? I've only been here like for 5 minutes.
That's a BlackBerry, right?
That is, yes, a BlackBerry.
Okay, I have a BlackBerry.
Yeah. And you can get us... you know, again, the challenge is...
No, I've heard you. I can't. Nobody gets
you. No, no one gets us. Well, the challenge is we need to accrue enough audience before... whatever severance we've got from the last radio stations that fires us runs out.
And you just keep doing it every day and hope that eventually it has some impact. Where's it going? We don't know, but we're going to find out. You know why, Bob? Because we have the time right now to find out.
So let me get this straight. So it's not necessarily 5 days a week?
It is necessarily. We're gonna put up a show between an hour and a half every day, 5 days a week.
At humbleandfredradio.com.
All right. Is there music?
We have thrown on a couple of tunes, and the only criteria we have is basically either it resonated with the audience that listened to us during the 90s at the edge, or it's something that we might think is appropriate. I mean, a song we played this morning is by a band, I don't know if you remember a band called Moxie Fruvis. They were the guy that used to be one of the singers is a host at CBC Radio now. But,
oh, yeah?
And then we'll play stuff tomorrow. We're going to play Street Band by Toast by Street Band.
Songs you wouldn't normally hear on the radio. I mean, that's all we can offer at this point. Why play music that you can hear anywhere else?
But only a couple tunes an hour
or
so.
Yeah, just a couple of tunes during the show.
Because we don't have a lot of sponsors, Bob, so we need to break every so often. You know, we could ramble on endlessly, much like yourself, but we don't have... Look at the look. You know what? I still remember the day we played golf. He said to me, Humble, you can't train it, you can't teach it, you can't buy it. I said, what are you talking about? Touch, my friend.
Can't teach touch, man.
Can't teach touch.
You can look at it. You can look salivate at it.
You can
salivate
be jealous
it.
Of it. You just can't you teach can't touch, teach he touch. Said to me. That was the only thing he said. That was only the little pearl of wisdom.
And I don't got it. See, that's why I know that.
And it's funny. We put
He's
together.
He's got it.
I know. I've seen him.
He's got touch.
And he still got it because we were out a couple of weeks ago. And yeah, he still got it.
We're talking about golf, by the way, in case you were curious.
Yes. We put together a guest list recently, and I put your name on it.
Fat chance.
And I've, well, that's what I said.
I said, whatever,
come on this show.
It comes out of the internet, chance. The speakers.
No, so, I'll have you guys here, but I ain't going there.
Oh, no, we just want you on the phone.
Would you do it on the phone?
Oh, bite me.
Oh, come
really?
On, man.
No, let's find out when you get an audience.
We have an audience.
Well, what's in it for me?
You know, it's not...
I build an audience for you.
You know what I would do for the McCown image to show up on the Humble and Fred
I'm afraid
podcast.
To be associated with you two
completely
guys.
Completely unrestricted, uncensored, uncouth, uncut. Say anything you want.
Anytime you want.
Oh, you're a nice man.
Anytime you want.
And you know what? But sincerely, it was...
You don't record this in the morning, do you?
No. Well, no. We record between 11:30 and 1:30.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. Mid-morning.
It was. We both said to ourselves when you had Ryan call us, we're just thrilled, and we thought, what a nice gesture, and we've always been such big fans. In fact, the first time we ever had you on our show was when you, do you remember when we did it? When you got, I think you left mornings here, and we had called
you. Were you guys
you
up in Brampton still?
No, I think we were downtown by then.
No, we were young and Dundas.
But we called Bob and had him on the show and wished him well. Now, I'm not
what
sure
year
if you
would
were,
that have been?
If you were fired or you left of your own accord. I can't remember. Okay, you left mornings. That's why we were calling you, to wish you well.
Oh, they fired me for the morning.
Yeah. So, listen, there's no problem.
Although you haven't been fired in a long time.
Yeah,
you?
Man. That you don't even
I'm
know.
Due.
You're due. I doubt
I'm due.
That.
And I was fired and sued and won. I got a crap load of money off the lawsuit, and then they hired me back too. So they're, you know what radio people are?
Yeah.
Stupid.
You
always want to aspire to work for somebody who's dumber than you are.
Yeah. Well, always say aim lower.
Yeah.
You know? That's what's worked for us.
You can say that because you have a job. I don't know if it would be good business for us right now to say radio people are stupid.
But you have a future.
Do we?
Really?
Well, yeah.
Do tell us.
I don't know.
Yeah, mine's retirement in about 4 years.
Well, no, because, see, I think this internet thing.
Yeah, it's going to catch on?
Might catch on.
Yeah.
And I will tell you something else. I'm a big believer that one day traditional broadcasting will be conducted on the internet. And that, in fact, if I was worried about anything, I'm not worried about terrestrial radio. I think there'll always be a home for terrestrial radio. But I think I'm not sure about satellite radio. And this show is on satellite radio.
Well, let me put it this way. There's two things that you have going for you. One is you are a content provider, and there will always be a need for it. I think, though, the people that should worry are the people that play a lot of songs per hour on radio stations, because the day that you can, like now, the simple thing is, and maybe you're not technologically aware, but you can simply, in any new car, plug your iPhone or your iPod or your anything into the auxiliary, and you can get your music anytime you want.
Right.
So the day you can stream radio through your car will be the day that satellite radio is basically done. But the people that provide content will always have a place somewhere, because content is needed.
Yeah, this the internet's gonna just leapfrog satellite, because the delivery is simpler ultimately, and it won't cost you a monthly fee.
Well, and that's always been my point.
Sure.
And there is unlimited bandwidth.
Mm-hmm.
And therefore, if the three of us wanted to create a 5,000 channel universe, easy. Can't do it on satellite radio.
I've got a bedside internet radio. It's the coolest thing my kids bought me. And literally, that radio could probably receive 150,000 stations.
Stations.
And internet stations from around the world.
And the thing is, though, when I get back, when you talk about stations to play lots of music versus a station like this, which is providing content that people were, you know, it's a content that people have chosen. As our friend Alan Cross has said, and we've quoted him whenever we can, those music stations are basically unprogrammable iPods. If you and I want to, or we're in our car,
right,
and there's a song we want to hear, I'll get it on my Android phone, and we'll play it when you say, hey, that's a Lyle Lovett song, and you'd love this. And like, we can find it in 30 seconds. I can't wait for that radio station anymore to play it for me.
But you can't get Humble and Fred Gold that easy, Bob.
No, you can't. Where can you get it, Fred?
HumbleandFredRadio.com.
What do you think? We're here just to say howdy? We're businessmen, Bob.
This is not going well at all.
Oh, you know it, man.
Oh, I think it's going great.
Yeah, fantastic.
I'll get you to buy some time, but I know you haven't got
two pennies. No, I know Bob's like, hey, we're so desperate for content. Let's call in Humble and Fred. Let's see how that goes.
No, I told you why.
Mm. And my wife likes us. Always did.
My wife has always been a fan.
Yeah, we worked with your wife for a while there at the Edge.
Well, yeah, she was at the Edge for a period of time, and she's always been a fan of you guys, which is why she threw the newspaper down. And then I went to her and I said, I think the guys are going to be on the show.
Nice.
And she said, no way, really? I said, yeah. She said, why? I said, I don't know.
Throw them a bone.
Do you think she's
why
listening?
Not?
Probably not, because I thought you were coming on tomorrow. I didn't know you were going to be on today.
We didn't know really? We were going to be on until a couple hours ago.
I said to Ryan, I called Ryan, and he's nodding in there. I said, see if you can get him on tomorrow. I figured that's the quickest we could do it. But I mean,
just
obviously,
so when you're like, when you're in
your schedule got cleared in a big hurry.
Oh, yeah, you know what, Bob?
He canceled an X-ray.
Yeah, I was supposed to. Yeah, I was supposed to have.
You're giving one or taking?
No, I was supposed to have my kidney X-rayed at 5 o'clock, Bob.
I was supposed
to drink two big bottles of water before I went in.
I've worked with him for 20 years, and I'm gonna tell you, the last three months.
Some water. Get up on the table. Here, we'll put a camera on
like, I've got to cancel.
Drop your pants.
I was still worried about him. He's canceling appointments with doctors left, right, and center for the cause.
Because we're thinking, oh, McCowan Show, males 25-54. That's exactly who we're trying to reach. We can't pass this up. We don't wait a day. Something might happen.
Exactly. Who knows if he'll leave his kidney will last till tomorrow.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, we hope it does.
I know I do.
Well, it was more an ultrasound than a...
Here, Dennis, you want to take some shots with my camera? Because I got the Android.
Oh, we got a cameraman in here,
We can do it after.
Yeah.
Well, whatever you want.
Like, what? Now, what do you do? Do you ever just, you know, stop?
You can walk in front of it. Don't worry about the camera, because we're not on TV this hour.
Yeah.
Well,
you don't want this group on TV.
Put your fat head in front of the camera there.
Wow. How are you doing? Did you play a little golf this summer?
I did play it a lot.
Did you?
I'll tell you after. I can't talk about it.
Okay.
Boy, did you picked the wrong time to quit playing.
I played a little more this summer. I probably played 8 or 10 times. Last summer, I played 3 times.
Well, I'll get you out. I'll get you both out.
Where are you playing?
That's what I can't tell you, but I'm going to tell you later.
I took you to my course. Remember that?
Well, I know you did.
Yeah.
Went up to the National.
Do you think Bob really wants to get me out, Howard?
You've improved immensely. That's all I'm going to say. That's the answer to that question.
I've never been that good.
From what to what?
Very, very hard. I was much better talking sports than playing sports.
So do you guys have any of the material that you've done historically?
Yep.
Yes, tons of it.
Play a couple of heritage, we call them heritage moments.
Are you okay? Mm-hmm.
Am I okay, what?
No, can you carry it? Can you air it? You're doing it anyway.
Well, that's a very good question, actually.
It's interesting.
We own it.
Remember the Mojo experiment? We worked at Mojo, and then we left there abruptly one night to go to work at the Mix.
Right.
And I had done a character for years called Mr. Goohead.
Yes.
Right? And there was some question the next day who owned that, but then our general manager at the time said, no, absolutely, give the guys whatever they've mm-hmm. produced. So no, there's really no question about rights or who owns it. We did it, so it's ours, basically. That's been the attitude.
So a couple times a show, we sort of pause where commercials might be someday. And we play what's called Humble and Fred Heritage Moments. And they're, like this morning, we played a Goo Head. And there's people's, again, we're trying to connect and resonate with people that kind of grew up with us when they were in their sort of, you know, 30s and 40s in the 90s and early 2000s and may have, you know, the thing is, all we can offer is they haven't been able to hear us together for 6 years. And there's no radio station right now that's interested in our product. And that's not to say that they may someday. But so we can offer them that, and we give them a little bit of, not to complete nostalgia. We want a little bit of, we want them to hear Humble and Fred as we sound now. And we're older guys, and, you know, we've got different problems. We still have problems, but they're just different now.
Mm-hmm. Now they're physical problems.
My buddy's kidney's about to burst.
No, actually, there's a cyst on my kidney, and they just want to, you know, periodically check it for size.
There's more information than
McGowan's we have. McGowan's going, this is getting better by the second. Hey!
It's a cyst
on my kidney.
Prime
time cyst.
How do you know that? Have you seen it?
Well, they tell me you can only take a doctor's word for it.
They tell you all kinds of crap.
No, you're
that doesn't
right.
mean it's true.
That's right.
He had me look at it.
Yeah. It's to sell drugs, Bob.
Here, check this out.
And we're going to have some guests. We would love to have you on talking about whatever. But we would like to talk a little bit, you know, about some stuff maybe you don't talk about here all the time, which is, you know, the years in the business and what, you know, some of the people that we
I've learned.
Just some of your experiences that, you know, would be interesting to our audience.
You know, I remember way back when, back in the late 70s, remember Talking of Sports. That was the name of your show.
Yeah.
And to me at the time, it was unbelievable because there wasn't anything like that on the radio.
No, it was the first. It was the first daily sports talk show.
You know, John Gilbert was doing a talk show on Chum.
A sports talk show, yeah.
No, a news talk show.
No, he, yes.
Public affairs or whatever.
Right.
But to have an hour and a half sports talk show to me was just like the ultimate. And that's how I ended up going down to CKFH and hanging around and first meeting you. So, I mean, you really are a pioneer. As far as
we had
that
no
goes.
Idea what we were doing.
No, and look what it's become.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe the same will happen for us, Bob.
But usually they say about pioneers. Pioneers get the arrows, settlers get the land. But you've got both, Bob. You pioneered. You took the land. You own the land. You've got a Starbucks all over it. It's all you.
Kick-ass take names.
Exactly.
That's all of it.
And now look at us. We're about to leave the airways here and go back on the internet.
I'm very encouraged.
You should be.
By what you're doing. I am. Seriously.
Thank you.
I think there's a future in this. If I were you, I'd give this a shot. Even if CK Mickey Mouse calls you tomorrow and says, I'll give you a real job on real terrestrial radio, I'd say, screw you.
Really?
We're staying right here for the time being.
Well, that's very encouraging.
I believe in it. I believe it has a future. And I don't know how it manifests. I don't know. You guys have a following. There are people out there that grew up listening to you guys, and followed you where you went. And I think they'll find you now. And hopefully this will help them, some of them, find you. And when they do, it'll only be up to you to make sure that they're entertained. And if that happens, then the advertisers will follow and the revenue will follow. And I won't have to support you in the manner to which you have not yet become accustomed.
That's right. You know, that is very encouraging because walking up here, I said to Howard, Bob's going to touch on the business aspect of this because I know you're very interested in the business aspect of pretty much everything, including sports. So for you to say that,
what's the future?
I think it makes us feel pretty good. Yeah.
And I would echo that by saying that the trick in any entrepreneurial enterprise, and this is completely us. Freddie painted the studio. We hung the banners and put fabric on panels. The trick is And anyone listening will know this, to stay in it long enough, and in our case, for the audience to find us, but we need to survive long enough for all those tipping point things to happen. And that's kind of the trick. And, you know, again, being on your show and other people have sort of helped us out. That Star article was amazing and things like this.
Yeah.
Will just help push it along so that eventually, as you say, enough people will find us that there is a money model in it. It requires a certain number of people a day. And when we get there, it'll be great.
Have you got a camera in the studio?
We're working on it.
Yeah. I'd do that too.
Yep. We're working on everything.
One interesting thing about this whole process of radio on television, and I didn't invent it. I saw it first with Don Imus.
Yeah.
About 10 years before we did it here. And all I did is, it was when I was living in Vegas in the wintertime, in the early 90s. And I said, there's something about that. If I'm getting up at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock in the morning, and I've been in broadcasting all my life and I'm watching a radio show, like I know what a radio show is, and I'm watching it and I'm fascinated by it. There's something here. And it's that voyeurism, that eavesdropping, that thing that you're not supposed to be able to see.
It's tearing down that fourth wall. You're sort of getting a chance to look
in. It's the kid in the outdoor, looking through the outfield fence the knot hole.
Well, right? I do that with this show. Like if I'm in a situation where I can watch it as opposed to listen to it, I'll watch it. I'll put it on in the kitchen.
It's stupid, isn't it? But you do it.
Yeah, you do.
Did you like? I know when you. I watched it when you first started, and I thought to myself, because again, not knowing you that well, but knowing you a little bit, I thought, is this something that you are going to embrace, or was it something that was, you know, foisted upon you?
No, it was real, literally my idea, but it took about 9 years for it to manifest. I saw the Imus show. I came back to Toronto. I signed a new contract, and in the contract it said that they owned the rights for internet and replay and this and that and TV, it said. And I said, no, not TV. We're taking TV out. Because someday this show is going to be simulcast. And if it is simulcast, I want a piece of the action.
Yeah, obviously.
Not thinking that the same company that owned the radio station would ultimately simulcast it, which became a little bit problematic. Because, you know, with Imus, he worked for
Fan. He worked at the Fan.
WFAN in New York, but the show was simulcast on MSNBC, right?
Mm-hmm.
And with Stern, wherever, I can't remember where he was, but he was simulcast on E, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it was separate companies, so they got separate deals. With me, it was a little bit more complicated. It was left hand, right hand. So I didn't know how it was going to manifest itself, but all I'm saying to you guys is that camera thing isn't necessarily a bad thing. And especially for a show like you're doing.
Well, we're going to. When we start, we have decided every couple of weeks we're going to stream it live. Will you stream it at the same time? So there'll be some visuals, depending on the guest. Like we've actually been, I'm going to say, we've had a couple of people come out and support us, not just people like you, but guests that have been on our show before.
Right.
Coming up in the next couple of weeks, like Gilmour, formerly of Triumph, George Strombolopoulos, Alex Lifeson of Rush. So on those days, we'll have the TV on so you can get a sense of what's going on in the studio.
And Strombolopoulos is not that big. He's a former Fan guy. He's pretty much of a slut.
Well, he was doing the All-Night Show at the Edge before us. And, now it's like, George, hey, can you help the old guys out a little bit?
But one of the coolest parts of this, Bob, is today's an example, the way you've embraced it rather than just fluffed it off, which I'm sure some people in this business have.
Well, I have.
And we've said this before your offer. We said this months ago. Radio people are going to see this and watch it with interest because they're going to go, well, there's a sense out there in the business that maybe some of the best days are behind the business in terms of where it's going, because it is going to change. It's not like the days of, TV is going to replace it, the end of radio. There is going to be a shift soon. And a lot of radio people we knew were going to look and watch and see how this goes for us, because we're not just two guys that came out of the basement and started doing a show. We have some recognition in the market.
And it could be you one day. So
exactly.
Me?
No. You.
Oh God, I thought you knew something I didn't know.
There's always people in radio who find themselves unemployed one day.
Big ass mortgage. Mm-hmm. Humble and Fred on the internet at humbleandfredradio.com.
Yes,
absolutely.
Is that right?
That's it.
I think it's right. Is it humbleandfredradio.com?
No, it's humbleandfredradio.com.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Oh, good. We're doing bits now.
Nope. No, we don't. Obviously, the bits didn't work.
No.
kept getting fired.
Can we hang a sign behind you on a daily basis?
That's funny.
No.
Now we're doing bits.
Michael Hiestand of USA Today. When we come back, it's prime time on The Fan and Sportsnet.
Milwaukee Brewers starting pitcher and former Blue Jay Sean Markham joins Jeff Sammet tonight after World Series Game 1. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
Before the hour, we gotta go faster. Where the time went? There's our friend Michael Hestand of USA Today. Hello, Hestand. How are you?
Great. How you doing?
I'm fine. Thank you very much for asking. Well, here goes Brian Gumbel again, huh?
Yeah. But you know, the guy is kind of a genius at
playing the race card,
because it's a monthly show. It's on a show. It's on a channel that, you know, around 20% of American households reach. And even on the show, most of it's featured with some, you know, bits and pieces commentary from him. And, yeah, he has a track record of staying talked about.
Well, I think I've had enough of Brian Gumbel. I think I finally had enough of Brian Gumbel. And I'm trying to remember the exact quote, and you'll help me with this. But he was talking about the Winter Olympics.
Try not to laugh when someone says these are the world's greatest athletes,
right,
despite a positive blacks that make the Winter Games look like the GOP convention.
Thank you very much. Yeah, you got it right there, don't you?
It seems kind of mean-spirited, because whether or not they are, in some absolute sense, the world's greatest athletes, they're people in their sports, whether those sports happen to be obscure in any given country or not, who've made it to the Olympics. Yeah, I don't, you know. But the weird thing is, and remember the one just on this last U.S. Open, how the USGA had made a mockery of the tournament because they'd made the course so easy specifically for TV ratings because Tiger Woods wasn't in it.
Yeah.
But the thing of it is, his commentary is like this business with Stern. He doesn't give any examples, you know?
Well, I don't think we even mentioned it. He called David Stern a plantation overseer.
Right.
You know?
And, you know, just, you can tell by listening to him, you know, he is that. Well, why don't you, and he's saying, yeah, you can tell he talks all the time, and da-da-da-da. Well, why don't you at least pick a sentence or two to support what you're saying? It's definitely kind of a hit-and-run deal. And again, these are these commentaries that are taped hours before they're shown, that are written. It's not like he can go, oh, you know, it was a live thing, I got a little carried away, whatever.
Okay, now, so you and I, we're two white guys sitting here talking, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the late afternoon. And I got to preface it by saying that, because there are going to be people out there that are going to get pissed about this. But I never run from race issues. And I haven't done it for 35 years, and so far, knock on wood, I haven't gotten into any serious trouble over it, because I think most people understand where I'm coming from here. But let me tell you something. If either one of us, in reverse, said what Brian Gumbel has said, there'd be hell to pay.
Well, you know, he's in a special circumstance, first of all. On HBO, they don't have advertisers. So the usual thing when there's controversy, somebody calls up some advertiser and says, you know, are you going to drop this show? And then that can be reported as news, and there's sort of a series of things that unfold. Second of all, and HBO makes no bones about it, and it's a fairly sensible approach, they aren't just trying to get you to watch the typical TV model. They get you to pay extra every month, and they do, whether it's the Sopranos or a series about brothels or whatever it is, they're trying to make a buzz. And Brian Gumbel, you know, does that.
Yeah, but he does it by playing the race card. And what, I mean, cite the case of the white guy on HBO who uses the N-word.
No, I'm not trying to defend it. And I also think...
Cite the case, though.
Yeah, if you bring up something that's obviously sensitive, and you want to go, well, this is obvious about Stern. Well,
Well, no, it's not.
An example. Exactly. You should have an example, and rather than just going, duh, this is, you know.
If the commissioner of the NBA was black, and I mean, I know it's an if he was black and the same situation was taking place, which at I assume at some point, maybe not in our lifetime, I don't know, because I don't know how long Stern's going to stay, and I don't know who the heir apparent is. But at some point, we have a black president, for God's sakes. Surely to God, we're going to have an African-American running the NBA at some point. And there's going to be a labor dispute. And is somebody like Bryant Gumbel going to stand up and say, well, he's like a plantation owner? I don't think that works, does it? Like, you have to be white, don't you?
I think where we disagree is you're looking into a bowl of alphabet soup and expecting to see a sentence. I just say...
You just think it's all smoke.
I just think that he's... I don't know whether this is by luck or intention. I think he's very good at, on a fairly obscure show that's only on once a month, staying, you know, someone that people talk about. And I think,
but we only talk about him, Stan, when he comes up with asinine comments like this one and the Winter Olympics one a couple of years ago. That's when we talk about him. The rest of the time, Bryant Gumbel is so far off my radar.
Yeah, absolutely. But he manages. There was a time when, well, he did come onto people's radar when the NFL Network first got games, and they decided, because they wanted attention, they would have him be the play-by-play announcer, even though he'd never called a game before. He was obviously with NBC Sports for a long time. And not surprisingly, somebody starting there, he made a lot. You know, play-by-play is hard. He misidentified players and the score occasionally and stuff like that. And it was a short-lived experiment. But it's an odd career, because remember when he was really a big deal on the Today Show, and then CBS hired him away for an enormous amount of money, and he was going to do different shows, and
bombed.
And he's really the opposite of his brother, Greg Gumbel, who I don't remember ever being involved in any kind of controversy, and is very much a sort of a straightforward,
studio, you know, a good quality, solid studio guy,
workmanlike guy, kind of a smooth game announcer, that sort of thing.
Well, look, I understand something. I don't dislike Bryant Gumbel. I've never met the man. Mm-hmm. There's actually a vague connection, because when Bryant Gumbel left the Today, when he left NFL Today, the NFL Show, whatever it was called, it wasn't NFL Today. I always get it confused. The NFL Show on CBS to go to the Today Show on NBC. Is that right? I think that's how it went.
I think it might have been.
No, it was the other way around.
Yeah.
It was the NBC show, the NFL show that he left.
Yeah.
I got down to the final three for that to replace him.
Really?
And I was not supposed to know who the other two guys were, except one of the guys actually got the job. And you know who that was? Do you remember who replaced Gumbel?
Costas. Yeah.
Who was this kid from KMOX in St. Louis? Who'd done a little bit of stuff on TV, but not all that much. So there, I mean, I certainly knew who Bryant Gumbel was, and I was a fan of his. I thought he was excellent at what he did.
Yeah.
When he left mornings, I thought that was a blunder on his part, because I liked him there, but I understood he didn't like getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no history of dislike for Bryant Gumbel. But I think Bryant Gumbel should be above this. And maybe you're right. Maybe I'm taking this too seriously. Maybe Bryant Gumbel's doing is every 12 months or 18 months, I'm gonna say, hey, look at me.
Now,
maybe that's all this is.
There is, and I'm just mind reading now. You know, I'd asked to talk to him today, and he's not doing interviews, as he, if I remember right. You know, he just says, basically, these are my comments, and not elaborating on it. If you were trying to think of a good reason to do this, besides just getting buzz for your show, it would be, you could say, well, I'm kind of an instigator of discussion, that maybe people today are talking about race in the NBA. But if you're doing that...
Is it an issue? Do you see it as an issue? Is race an issue?
Really, I don't really see it. No. I think, you know, the business that he... part of his commentary was Stern is treating the players like his boys. No, I think it's a like these other labor situations, it's management saying, why do we have to pay these players so much, especially when some of them turn out to be not very good, which is a recurring theme through Major League sports. So, no, I don't see it as a race issue. And he, you know, he said that Stern is egocentric and stuff. And, you know, Stern is a smart guy.
Oh, and he is that.
Plenty of self-esteem. But I don't, in these labor negotiations, I don't find them any particularly uglier or more confrontational or anything than some of the other ones we've seen over the years.
Mm,
you know, it's just a hard-nosed thing coming down to a percentage here and a percentage there, and each side is trying to get the best deal it can.
Plantation overseer. Wow. Heavy-duty stuff from Brian Cumble. Well, maybe I do take him too seriously. I got real mad at the last one. I got, like, there was steam coming out of my eyes. Forget my ears. With the last one, with the Olympics. Maybe I'm missing the point. Maybe Brian Cumble's sitting at home with his feet up laughing like hell, saying, got him again.
Well, I do think just the format of it, it's a bit hit and run. You make a little commentary, you don't give any examples.
And then you don't mention it again.
Or you don't anything, and you just kind of throw it out there, and people are like, what are you talking about? And I think
guys like you and I talk about it for 12 minutes, right? So, what do we know? Which means we are now out of time. I know we had a bunch of other things to talk about, but you'll come back soon, and we'll find other things to discuss. Thank you, Mr. Hestand, as always. Michael Hestand of USA Today. We'll tell you what's coming up on the program when Primetime continues on The Fan and Sportsnet.
Blue Jays manager John Farrell joins Mike Wellner to take your calls on the pregame show tonight at 7. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
There are a lot of in-studio people. There'd be a parade of people in here. Greg Zahn and Jamie Campbell will join us in studio. The Cards and the Rangers in the World Series. Wait, even that's over. Not the most exciting matchup. The CEO of the 2015 Pan Am Games will join us in studio. Ian Troop will be here. He's a brave man, based on what we've said about the future of the Pan Am Games. But we're happy to have him. If he's willing to come in and have the abuse heaped on him, then we're happy, I guess. No, we're not going to let up. Warren Moon in studio at the top of the 6 o'clock hour. Rob Becker, our legal analyst, and Kiefer Sutherland, Emmy Award winner. We'll talk about sports and life. And Dewey Bozella, who will be on the program tomorrow. Kiefer, by the way, presented the 2011 Arthur Ashe Courage Award at the ESPYs. Kiefer Sutherland, Rob Becker, Warren Moon, Ian Troop, Greg Zahn, Jamie Campbell, Cast of Thousands, John Shannon, all coming up. It's Primetime on The Fan and Sportsnet.